When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is a Football Friday. Football Friday continues, man. Since 6 a.m. has been a Football Friday going strong right here on Sports Radio 610. And I begrudgingly tell you that this is going to be an audio paddling for the next 4 hours here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atatula. Excited. Very excited for this Football Friday. This is a fun Saturday of football coming up that is headlined in this city by Texans Chiefs at Arrowhead. Or sorry, GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
You should know that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That is right. I didn't anticipate being called nerd by Sean Pendergast, but here we are. Get involved with the program, as we always love that you do. Get on the YouTube and the Twitch. Both of those are open and available to you. But then also, thank you for the ding, Seth. Yeah. And then also the text line, 713-572-4610. Let us know what you're feeling on all fronts when it comes to this game. And I think that just, like, let's start from the 30,000-foot view, and then we can dig in even further, as this is a Football Friday, so we're going to get all the way into this. But I was kind of coming to this game. I've continued to remain somewhat optimistic, trying to see the places where development and progress can happen for this team. Obviously, you've already won the division. You are AFC South champions. We have the shirts to prove it. Shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for helping us out with that. But there's still things to play for, right? We're not shutting this thing down. And I think for me, the things to play for are trying to find more progress headed into the playoffs. No?
No, look, I think this game can kind of sort of set the course, like, once and for all. Like, we've been saying, well, the offense, how much better can it really get? But, you know, they've changed the offensive line. But, you know, you still have C.J. Stroud looking a little better.
Looked a little rejuvenated coming off the bye week. I will say, that gave me a little pep in my step seeing those two particular plays, or three plays, right?
Yeah.
You see the touchdown passes, right, where he's able to step up in the pocket or roll out to his right and then, you know, do the scramble drill in a way that it felt like he had kind of deviated away from in the kind of the middle parts of the season.
Right.
And then there was that third down play where he is wrapped up and he finds a way to get the ball to Tank Dell there on the right side. And those were like, okay, those feel like sparks of the C.J. Stroud. Can those continue is one of the things that, you know, feels like it's there.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs have that little pixie dust, that magic pixie dust.
Somehow, boy, do they.
Somehow, some way, they'll find a way to win games week after week after week, even though they're not really looking that well. A little statistical, you know, quirk here. Did you know the Kansas City Chiefs offense has scored exactly one more point than the Texans offense this year?
I did not know that, but
one point.
There's a lot of places where these teams are similar. I made the passing remark yesterday that these teams are like the Spider-Man meme, and I was looking at some things that made me think, oh, yeah. Right, when we talk about success rate on, I believe, running the football, the Texans are very bad when it comes to success rate there. But, like, there's some different analytics that you look at and you go, hey, these teams are very similar success rate, I believe, passing the football.
And the way they win games, you know, with the defense and
defense
all that.
Defense first,
so,
for
so
sure.
So that's kind of where I'm landing on this as we get into a great Saturday of football, as we've been discussing. I feel as if, okay, we kind of know what this team is, but, you know, if you do get a little more development on the offensive line, show a little more. C.J. Stroud does look like he did on those plays and in those moments, as you just mentioned, and maybe adds a little more to it. You do get a little bit more offense. The running game somehow starts to find its way with Joe Mixon.
I noticed the word somehow in there because that feels like you don't have an answer as to how.
Exactly. And you still get that defense. I mean, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I think you win this game on this day with everybody watching and the offense showing a little bit more life with the great defense already established. We might start changing back to like, hey now, you know, they might have a little something after all.
So you, in your words, right?
I think we changed the direction of this team, this game. This game, not to be dramatic again, but I think we were very optimistic. Then it kind of fell off a cliff. And then we're like, it is what it is. See that, Figgy?
There you go. You're catching on.
I'm proud of you.
No, it made me sick to say that. But anyway.
You keep saying that. Just keep being sick until you're not.
No.
You'll get accustomed.
And so we're like, okay, sort of resigned to the fact that this is what they are, right?
Yeah, resignation is a great word.
But you change against the Chiefs, you know, an absolute iconic team with the iconic quarterback and an iconic coach. And you go into Kansas City in the cold and win with defense and you run the ball with Mixon. I honestly think we're all going to be talking different next week.
But that's the thing is, I understand that you're like, hey, there's an if here. But that if I am operating from a place of hope and optimism, I can be like, yeah, I can see a way in which this feels like it changes the trajectory, or at least the seeming trajectory of where the Texans are, especially as they, you know, ramp up for the playoffs. If I am going to, you know, the second mind that I'm of two minds in this instance, and the second one of those is one that is a little bit more logical and reasonable, is that we have done this for a long time this year, where we're looking for the possibilities of this kind of ramping up to a better degree. And all sorts of different things, whether it's bye week or whatever other milestones, or Nico Collins coming back from injury, or what have you, right? The switch moving Kenyon Green, or not moving him, but him getting injured and having some shuffle. Like, there's all sorts of different milestones that we were hoping would represent the opportunity for the shift into gear of this offense and this team at large into a place back closer to what the expectation we had of them was earlier on in the season. And at what point are we going to go, hey, that's all wishful thinking, and we have to, they are what we thought they are, or like they are what their record shows them to be, or what have you. I think that's a lot closer to where I am right now, and understanding that this is a tough game that you're going in against. Mm-hmm. Someone on the text line makes a good point from the 713, not to kill the vibe, but CJ hasn't played particularly well on the road with weather conditions. That's another thing.
You're not wrong.
How much do we factor in the vaunted, you know, road environment that Arrowhead is, you know, how much do we factor in the little bit of magic, or maybe a lot of bit of magic, that the Kansas City Chiefs continue to sprinkle upon themselves? Did you know that according to the sports reference pages, right, the football reference and all those, if you look at just the way that they've played, in theory, they should be 9-5. This is a 13-1 team when Kansas City.
For sure. But to your point, that's why I said, once and for all, if it doesn't happen. Because I just laid out, okay, if these things happen and we start to see the progress and development in these areas that we saw a little bit hint, you know.
And that's based off the point differential, mind you.
Oh, thank you. But what I'm saying is, if these things happen and they build on what we saw on Sunday, then maybe it could change the direction of the team. On the other hand, to your point, if it doesn't happen and they, you know, they bleep the bed and they look the same and all that, well, then that's it. If not now, when? You know, when are you going to change?
I guess this is the kind of, I don't know what the right word is, but like, to what degree is necessary for that feel? I wonder how many people in our listening audience are in the same boat where I am, where it's like, yeah, I don't think that I'll have a change. What would it take in this game for you to have some level of change in that flip of the switch of hope, as you're kind of talking about, to where you're like, okay, actually, there does seem to be some signs of a higher life for this team, particularly offense. And now I am more hopeful headed in.
Yeah, I think it's easy. I think that's an easy answer. Run game behind this line, and CJ Stroud continuing to show that he's not running for his life. He's actually confident and able to move around in the pocket. The little hints that we didn't say any hints on the run game, but the little things that we saw.
I could say there might have been some hints.
I don't know. Was it 26 yards he had rushing?
Yeah, and they didn't run the ball a lot, but
they had short fields, all that stuff. Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And it definitely came back to one of the things that I'm crystallizing, which is it's always something.
Mm-hmm.
There's always one point of a failure in a play on the run in the run game. And sometimes it's just that, oh, Jarrett Patterson can't get a reach blocker. Sometimes it's that Robert Woods isn't managing to get to the linebacker that ultimately blows up the play. But I at the very least, in the other portions that weren't the point of failure, we're seeing more push. So maybe you can convince yourself in that way. But again, it's doing a lot of mental gymnastics to convince yourself, and that's what keeps bringing me back. So to the question that I posed, I feel like it would need to be resounding.
Well, resounding, I mean, that's interesting because I think if you get 100 yards out of Joe Mixon, that's resounding.
But I think it's qualitative.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's less quantitative than because we've seen 100 yards out of Joe Mixon many times this year.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of those times were those performances indicative of something that felt that it was substantial and that you could carry over week to week and that you could at any given time when you need it pull out of your pocket a run play that you knew would be successful?
But in those games there were other issues, and CJ Stroud was not being protected. That's my point. If you can protect him, which we saw that, and we saw a more confident CJ Stroud. We've never had a Texans team protect CJ Stroud and run the ball in the same game.
At the same time?
In the same game.
Okay.
Haven't had it. I mean, try to find a game where they protected CJ Stroud and they ran the ball. I mean, even Indianapolis, you know, in the first game, he was kind of, we didn't know what was going on at the time, but he was kind of, I think he was sacked a few times and, you know, running around and they had to really scramble. But if you get that, then all of a sudden I think the narrative changed. But at the same time, to your point, there hasn't been any indication that they can put that together. If it doesn't happen now, it ain't going to happen.
The thought, sorry, I got distracted by the question that you posed. Two sacks for CJ Stroud was sacked twice in the Patriots game, and you end up with the Mixon 102 and a touchdown. Is that the best? Case of that?
That might be
against the 1-5 in New England Patriots as Drew. I almost called him Drew Lock. Why is his name leaving me?
You're talking about Drake May?
Drake May.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. All right. It's a Friday in more ways than one. Like, for some reason, it seems like my brain is going, but it's because I'm amped up for this football that's coming down.
Just stick to the stadium names.
Yeah.
apparently, the rivers that you used to.
Apparently, that's what my brain can handle.
If you ever want to feel good, just think about stadium names.
Rookie quarterbacks. My brain is like, ain't got it for you. But I know that he plays at Gillette Stadium, though, right? Like, I guess that's how that works. Yeah, no, I feel like it wouldn't be the points of it. It would be are you picking up stunts on the defensive line?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that no matter what iteration of the offensive line that we've gotten in moments where we go, oh well, they're doing this a little bit better.
Yeah.
You get like a tackle game, you know, or you get something where you have one of these twists or stunts up front, and all of a sudden you're not picking that up, right? Like that. especially against a Steve Spagnuolo, right? Like,
that's the other aspect, though.
I'm trying to remember which game it was this season for the Texans where you could see them. It was probably Kenyon Green's final game where you could see the defense of you see the defense going, okay, so we're going to attack these seams and these weaknesses on the offensive line. And if there's anybody who is capable of one, identifying, and then two, actually drawing up the things to attack a particular weakness, particularly on your offensive line, it is Steve Spagnuolo. With this defensive line that has become more robust than it had any point been any point in this season, with the return of Charles Menehu, like, if I see that, right, and if I see them picking up in protection in that way, if I see some actual, like, a full or some full plays where you get a run block that creates a lane and that also does not have some place in it where there's a point of failure, that, like, it's those things qualitatively, if I see those, and if I see those with any level of consistency, that would give me some level of feeling that, yeah, obviously you're competing against the Chiefs, which is cool, but then that you will take that ability to be competitive against a higher level team in this league and translate it forward to Christmas, to the playoffs. Like, that's what I'm hoping for, and I'm going to be completely honest. I'm not super optimistic that I will see that, even though I feel this to be a downright winnable football game.
Yeah, and there's another factor here as well that I think would make us all feel sort of like the direction is changing, and that happened last night. I mean, the Chargers winning helps the Texans' playoff picture, if you asked me, because the Chargers just have the Patriots and the Raiders left on their schedule. They're going to be in the playoffs. You know, they're going to be in the playoffs. Could they be the number 5 seed to face the Texans? I'd much rather face them than the Ravens. The Texans have the Ravens in there. The Ravens have the Steelers this week, right?
Yeah.
And then the Texans face them.
Yeah.
So, like, all of a sudden, it's not just like what you're seeing on the direction, like your schedule potentially in the postseason looks a little bit more like, okay, the direction of this team might be changing if they can get it what they want. I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather face the Chargers and the Ravens. That's for dang sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting question to bring up, because the Ravens are scary when it comes to the high water mark of what their offense can do. Mm-hmm. That is a terrifying offense, right? If I just stop at Lamar Jackson, who bona fide MVP candidate, he feels like he's been overtaken, at least at the top, by Josh Allen out here just being a menace and being the full realization of what people thought Josh Allen could be when you just looked at the talent coming or like the raw ability coming out of Wyoming. He's become that and more. In the NFL at this point. But Lamar Jackson, MVP candidate, the speed that he brings, the you know, ability to throw the football down the field, and then you add Derrick Henry, who is like creating an incredible amount of yards above the expectation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you add all the wide receivers and the targets, because I feel like the tight ends are probably stronger than the wide receivers themselves. Like, yeah, that high water mark is there. What we saw yesterday, That's a Chargers team that plays tough. Like, they resemble their head coach.
Yeah.
In Jim Harbaugh. Yes, Jim. I always have to. I don't know why. The Jim and the John gets me. But in Jim Harbaugh there. And, like, they're just evidently a really well-coached team. Which, again, coming back at least to this offense, because I don't want to denigrate this defense for the Texans. If sometimes I have questions about them being a well-coached team, and how strongly do you feel about that in a team that is not consistently successful in the Texans offense against a team that is pretty disciplined and kind of handles what they're supposed to do, even if they don't have the outsized talent in the Chargers. That's an interesting dichotomy there. And regardless,
which would you rather face?
Probably the Chargers, but in either circumstance, right? Whichever one you face, you need to be able to do some of the things that I'm hoping that you can do, but I'm not certain that you will actually prove that you can do tomorrow.
But let's just kind of go forward a little bit. Let's say you beat the Chiefs and you get those hints from C.J. Stroud and the offensive line, a little bit more running game. And then you face the Chargers in the first round. You got the Ravens coming in on Christmas. Then you face the Chargers in the first round. I think that changes a lot.
Okay.
I think that changes a lot of how this team feels and how we feel about this team.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that Chargers game. There's some interesting things in it. Just thankfully a good Thursday night football game. Shout out to the good flex. Good job, NFL. Yeah. Good flex there. Folks on the text line from the 832. The Texans washed that Chargers team that I saw last night. Okay.
That?
That's a level of confidence there. And then 832 with an interesting take. I always felt this team was constructed in a way to beat the Chiefs, they say. And I mean, if you're playing to the ability that it feels like you can on paper, sure. But again, I don't know that I've seen that demonstrated by this team. But we'll see how that continues to play out. And hopefully, with all of that, I feel like I brought the negativity in that segment on this because I'm spinning it forward to like what I think would mean in the playoffs. I think this game right in front of you is downright winnable against the Kansas City Chiefs. And so let's break that down a little bit more as we continue on a Football Friday. But coming up next, I actually just want to get to maybe the revenge factor of this all
there's some guys
that you're familiar with over there on that Kansas City Chiefs team, including one Charles Menehu, who is talking. Let's see if we can get a little bit of an understanding of what he means and what he's talking about. We'll do that next.